All right, good morning, Calvary Baptist. How's everybody doing? Good? Considering what? Yeah, no, I know. The snow was only there for a day. I wanted to savor that one more time. I know a lot of you hate snow, but I like it. All right, so as you'll see, we start here with Easter coming up. We've got the Annie Armstrong offering coming up, and we'll be doing that every Sunday in March. And if you look on there, it says our goal this year is $0. So don't worry about it. No, that is obviously a typo. That should be a 2. So that's our goal, just to keep in mind. $2,000. There's $2 would also be pretty easy. Okay, birthdays. We've got Taylor Beachy on the 28th. So wish them a happy birthday. Calvary Brotherhood coming up March 2nd at 9 a.m., titled Land of the Free, and that's going to be presented by Rick. And then also on that same date, same time, is the Calvary Sisterhood, and they are going through a Gospel of John study. Let's see what else. I think that's all I've got. Somebody always tells me something to say, and then I forget, but I don't think I've forgotten today. Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like we had a number of prayer requests come in this week about health. So let's go ahead and say a prayer, and we'll start with that as the focus. Dear God, we come to you in prayer here this Sunday morning. To start here, we just want to lift up each individual in our congregation or a friend of someone in our congregation or family member, God, that's been on the prayer request list. Or maybe isn't on and just hasn't let us know. But God, in this fallen world, unfortunately, disease and pain is a big part of what we go through. And so we just want to lift up a special prayer for those going through such things, whether sickness, disease, illness, God, whether new or old. We just pray a special prayer that you would bring healing to these people, God, that you would provide restoration. And in the meantime, as they wait, we pray that you'd give them courage and confidence and patience and understanding and just be with them and help them use this time, God. We know that you are there for us in the good times and the bad times, and that we pray that whichever direction these things go, that their soul would be stronger for. They would grow in faith in you and grow in love for you and love for others, God, and that you would just use this time to teach them and walk with them. But we pray for healing, God. We know that you're a miracle worker, and so we pray that you would perform miracles and bring healing to all the people in our congregation that need it. We thank you here for another Sunday. We thank you for the ability to worship you and to have access to your word that you've preserved for us so that we can come together and learn about you and know about you. And we thank you for doing that, for loving us so much that we humans have a purpose in this life, and that's to know you and to glorify you and to love others as well, God. And so we pray that you would guide Pastor Mike as he delivers another sermon. We pray that you would, that your Holy Spirit would be working across all churches everywhere, God, and that people would be revitalized. And whether that's somebody backsliding that you would awaken this morning, or somebody who's been on the straight path for a long time, that you would continue to reinvigorate their faith and their spirit, God. And we just pray that you would speak to each of us in our unique needs. And we pray all these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. If you wouldn't mind standing with me, we'll open our singing service with More About Jesus. More About Jesus. More about Jesus, more.
Thank you that we're able to be here today and participate and worship that you so greatly deserve. And pray that you'll accept these gifts that we can give back to you. Help us to understand and give us the strength to, and desire to comprehend the power of your word, that in which every molecule that exists and every blade of grass that grows was spoken into existence by you. Help us understand the power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Ms. Fondal. We'll stand again and sing. I stand amazed in the presence. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he loved a sinner condemned and clean. How marvelous, how wonderful am my soul. Please be seated. Brother Jim, if you'd come up and share what God laid on your heart.
Good morning, believers. I want to encourage all of you to come up and give your testimony. Todd asked for that, and we all would like to know how you come to know Christ. And your testimony can encourage other believers and strengthen their faith. So I just wanted to invite you all up here to testify. My childhood, I got off to a pretty rough start. I was a breech baby with the cord wrapped around my neck. So when I come into this world, I was blue. But I had a fairly normal childhood, and I was quite ornery. When I got to be a teen in high school, I struggled with all the changes and couldn't handle the testosterone, and I was beyond ornery at that point. And that went into my young adulthood. If there was anything you weren't supposed to be doing, I was doing a lot of it. And I don't think the devil even tried to take me down, because I'd done that to myself long before. He was off after believers. He wasn't after me. So I don't blame him for anything. I blame myself. I always believed in God, but I never gave myself to God. So it wasn't a matter of unbelief. It was just a matter of me being too busy being a hedonist. Because anything that I thought was a pleasure, that's what I wanted to take part in. And this went on for quite some time. It was quite a waste of a life, is what it was. As a matter of fact, I was a teenager till I was about the age of 45 years old. Still a teenager. There's a TV station out of Lima, Ohio. Channel 44, WTLW, which stands for Witnessing the Living Word. And it's a wonderful TV station. And they show a lot of Christian programming, but they also show a lot of old movies, things like that, which I like. And Leave It to Beaver, and Dennis, and all this stuff, you know, when I was a kid. So anyhow, that got me to watching that station. And eventually I started watching some of these Christian programs. And which started piquing my interest in the Lord. But, you know, that Christian station, like any other station, they have people on there that don't have the true word, the true message. You still had to sort it out. And that's, I prayed that the Holy Ghost would sort these things out for me. I wanted to know the truth. And I sorted through some of them, and I think I eventually, I do know what's right now, but it took a while. I mean, I was involved in works-based things and, different things like that, which is, it's just a false gospel. Our gospel is 2 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You can't add to it. And until you believe that, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you can't be saved. I believe there's only one unpardonable sin, and that is unbelief. If you're pardoned because of faith, because of belief, then how can you be pardoned for unbelief? You can't be. I don't mean to get to preaching here. Jeez. But anyhow, like I said, I started watching these programs, and I went the wrong way a few times. But I believe this. I believe in predestiny. I believe in God's foreknowledge before you're put in your mother's womb, that he knows whether or not you're going to eventually be a believer. So in a sense, I believe I was saved from the day I was born, but I didn't make it official until many, many years later. But I do believe in predestiny. So I can't tell you any date or time when I became official. But I do know this. When I accepted Christ, now I was always a very vengeful person. If somebody did something to me, look out. I was going to get them back 10 times worse. And I could forgive people if they weren't confrontational with me. But if I got into it with somebody and there was a confrontation going on there, I couldn't forgive them. So it was always vengeance, vengeance. But vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So, but once I really started praying and asked the Lord to be my Savior and asked the Holy Ghost, this is the main thing, ask the Holy Ghost to show you the truth. Should I listen to this guy or this guy or this guy? I don't know. I need your wisdom to guide me because I want to know the truth. This is too important to get it wrong. And finally, I come around, got saved, and just all of a sudden, I had this peace in me, which I've never had. Always had a lot of turmoil inside of me. But I didn't want vengeance on anybody anymore. I could forgive people. Imagine that. You know, and the Lord forgave me, and he had much worse done to him than I've ever had done to me. The peace is undescribable. It really is, just like the Word says. And I thank him so much for that. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for all that you've done for me, and I thank you for what you've done for all these people here. And I ask you just continue to bless all of us and strengthen our faith, Lord. And I just thank you all for listening.
Each person's individual pilgrimage is always different, but it always ends the same when we come to know the Lord. And that's the beauty of it. If you have your Bible, turn over to Psalms this morning, chapter 40. Going to be looking at verses 1 through 3 this morning. I don't know why Peter is up there, but that silver go have I none, but such as I get. In the name of Jesus, Nazareth, raise up and walk. That's a good one too, but that's not the one I'm on today. Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. The psalmist David says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Father, we ask you to continue to be with us here this morning. We know we have those on our hearts and minds, Lord, that are not feeling well today. Some are struggling with the COVID, the flu, and all those kind of things. Some, Lord, are struggling with that terrible word, cancer. And, Father, we ask you to just continue to minister to them and strengthen them, give their bodies respite, Lord, and healing. We ask to touch them in a very special way. And, Lord, we know that you have a plan for each and every life. And we pray, Father, that this will bring the grace to their life in a very special way because of that great plan that you have for them in Christ. Lord, as I think about this passage this morning, pray, Father, it's a very simple message, but pray that we might recognize and realize that corporately there is something we should be doing together, many different things, but particularly this morning in worship. We need to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, help us to understand what you are talking about in these very basic things and fill our hearts and minds with your peace, but also, Lord, with a sense of urgency that we're living in a world that needs to know Jesus. People all around us need to know Jesus. The truth needs to be known. Pray you use us in that. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as I said a minute ago in the prayer, worship is a very important thing. Worship brings us right into the very presence of God. Right into the very presence of God Almighty in his grace in Christ. Wherever two or three are gathered together, there I am where? In the midst. Here he is. God's here today. You say, well, I didn't see him. Well, listen. Settle down. Calm your hearts. Maybe he'll speak to you specially this morning. I pray he does. Well, worship should be a corporate thing. It should be a celebration kind of thing. We sing the music. You know, there are some different things we look on Sunday night in the sense of the basics, I think, of biblical faith. Some would say, well, what you talked about Sunday night was the Reformation, sola fide, sola scriptura, all those kind of things. Those were the basis of the Reformation. Amen. Those are Bible things. That truth has not changed. It's right here, and that's what we're doing. And so we need to recognize that, and the sermon challenges us in the process of worship. It should inspire us. Hopefully it might teach us something as well. But one thing it should always do, too, is enliven our hearts. Everybody needs a special touch. Everybody's having a hard time. Everybody's having some kind of difficulties. Sometimes there are things that just are beyond us, and the Lord knows those things. And so we need a special joy in our hearts so that we might be able to deal with the everyday things of life, which sometimes are not very pleasing to us, and give us directions. Most of the time, I think we recognize that just for a moment, just for a second or so, that these burdens could be lifted. And of course, in the sense of worship, this should be a place where we recognize that, because God, where the two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. God's here this morning. God knew already what I was going to say today. I've been struggling with it all week long. And I've got it written down, fleshed out, I guess you might say. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way I have it fleshed out on paper. We'll see this morning. I'm not going to tell you, hey, forget that verse, or forget those. No, but God is going to work in our lives. As you well know, or as you should know probably, Tom Beachy's dad passed away a week or so ago, and they had his funeral over at the Mennonite Church right across from D.O. McCombs. I remember Dave and I were talking one time. He used to work at Walmart's, I got to know Dave through his son, and then I started to see him at Walmart's, and so we would talk and do those kind of things. And somehow or another, we were talking, and he told me that one of their goals as a family, because I think he said something about, I said, you know, see you tomorrow. He said, no, I'm going on vacation or something like that. Anyway, the word vacation came into the picture. And so I said, well, where are you guys going? He said, well, we've made a plan as a family to try to see all 50 national parks. I thought, well, that's fantastic. And I asked him how many they'd already seen, and they were halfway there. I thought that was a wonderful goal, and it's a wonderful thing. I've had the privilege of visiting some national parks, sometimes not because we as a family, you know, got up and said, hey, let's take our vacation and go here, but maybe on the way somewhere we would do that. When we were coming back from Germany, for example, we were headed to Montana, and so my dad decided that we were going to swing through Yellowstone National Park and see Yellowstone Park as we went to Montana. And so we had that opportunity to do that, and by grace, God's grace, we did that. And that prompted me, when Dave was talking about that, to think about that we went to Yellowstone National Park as we were going to Montana one time. And of course, Yellowstone's a very beautiful place. They have something they call the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone. Just like the Grand Canyon, it's beautiful too. And it's very similar in that way. But Yellowstone's major attraction is what? Geysers and bubbling stinky things and Old Faithful and all that kind of stuff. You know, you've got elk, you've got deer, you've got bears, you know, all those kind of things. But the major, I think, tourist thing that people want to see when they go to Yellowstone is to see Old Faithful. And of course, Old Faithful is a geyser. And it's one of the most visited place in all national parks. And for that very simple reason, it's faithful. It's like clockwork. It erupts about every 78 minutes. Old Faithful starts with a little steam kind of coming up out of the ground there a little bit, sputtering a little bit, a little water here and there. And then all of a sudden, there she goes. And I noticed something about that, even when I was just a teenager, that the people who were watching that display had a sense of awe. Wonder, how does it do that all the time? You know, the name, Old Faithful. Well, it's not exactly like an alarm clock that goes off, but it's close enough that they can say that. And someone said, while I was there at that particular time, something that I was thinking, they said it out loud. Isn't that amazing? Yes, it is. Then somebody said, I can't wait to get home and tell my family and friends and those that weren't here today that we were here and we saw Old Faithful. And you know, I thought about that in the same kind of dynamic way, that this should occur every Sunday. Do you know that? We don't have to go to Yellowstone. When we come to worship, who are we worshiping? The Lord God Almighty. We're thanking the Lord God Almighty who put upon himself human flesh and came in the person of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died on the cross, being the very perfect sacrifice for sin. All of Leviticus talking about without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. God already had it from the very beginning of all time that Jesus was going to come and die for our sins and be raised again so we'd be confident in that justification of sin. That's pretty awesome. Well, when we come to worship, we come to worship him and what he did. We sing praises to the Lord and his works. Many times the psalms, the hymns that we sing are Bible songs. We have scripture being given to us in a hymn. We have the awesomeness of God being given to us in a hymn. We have the words being in a hymn. Some people, I've heard it over the years, and of course I'm sure they were just talking about some unknown person, you know, shaking hands or whatever, and somebody will say to you know, well, it's really good to be here this morning, kind of thing. And the singing was fantastic. Pastor, I thought you were going to sing Jerusalem today. Well, we still got time. We're actually headed toward a certain... All right, now, there he is right there. He can sing it. He will do a marvelous job. Will you do it next Sunday or the Sunday after? You, whenever you get, the Lord says to you, I've got to sing that song, you sing that song. All these things should remind us of the wonder and the majesty of God, the power of God, and the mighty works of Jesus. Over in John chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us what? And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. David put it this way in Psalms 40, verse 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. When we come here, folks, we ought to be leaving this place saying, oh, it was good to be in the house of the Lord today, to hear the Lord speak through his word, to be with his people, to hear great testimonies of changed lives. It was so good to be in the house of the Lord today. You know, there's lots of other places you could probably be. Yeah. You could be in the hospital today. Bob was in the hospital all week long. He was chomping at the bit to get out of there. I don't blame him. He's here this morning. You know, and these things tell me some very important things. First of all, worship has a couple of elements to it. First, there's the celebration, and I would call that a vertical dimension. David is remembering God's deliverance, not from his personal, but because of his sinfulness, God delivered him. Remember when he was going to go up there to give his brothers some lunch, and here you have the Philistines arrayed on one mountain, you have Israel arrayed on the other mountain, and you have this guy called Goliath who would come out every day and taunt the armies of Israel. And David goes up there, and he had those Kentucky Fried Chicken boxes to give to his brothers, and he heard that guy, and he said, "Hey! What's that guy doing down here taunting?" And you know, I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when Goliath was taunting, he also taunted God. Oh, watch out for that. Watch out for that, friends. And David said to Saul, remember the scripture tells us when God was looking for to give Israel, who was supposed to be the king of Israel? God. But the people wanted a king. They wanted to be like every other nation. And so God said, okay, well, we got a guy named Saul. He's head and shoulders above everyone in Israel. So he's a big guy. Goliath is a big guy. Saul is a big guy. So David comes up there, and here's Saul and his army over here, and there's in fear, and you have Goliath down there just taunting and kicking all this, and David had enough of that, and he said, hey, why hasn't somebody gone down there and knocked this guy off? I forget what kind of translation that has. Don't look for it. You won't find it. And of course, when David goes down there, starts to go down there, Saul tells him, do what? How about putting my armor on, bud? This is a man of war down there. Here, put my helmet on. And David said, Well, it would have been the most foolish thing he ever did to put Saul's armor on. He probably couldn't have walked down the hill. It would have been like that. What was David rely upon? Well, you say, well, his slingshot, his little. Well, not really. He told Saul, now listen, God has delivered unto my hands a lion and a bear with this slingshot. Wow. My cousin, years and years ago when we were kids, I don't know where my dad was at, because if we were at my grandmother's farm, my dad was someplace, Japan, someplace overseas. And my cousin came out, my wimpy cousin, Johnny, and he had a slingshot, a David slingshot, a Goliath killing slingshot. Leather, little pouch there, thongs. Went out in the driveway there in front of my grandma's house, and you had to probably go a half a mile down to the road this way, maybe a quarter of a mile or third of a mile over that way to the fence, and then a little bit further to the highway. And he said, I'll tell you what. He said, I have a dollar in my pocket. Okay, great. He said, we're going to take this slingshot, and we're going to throw the rock over the road. And if you can throw it farther than I can throw it, I'll give you the dollar. Well, I thought to myself, if this guy can do it, I can do it. Have you ever used one of those? It's not one of these kind of things. Yeah. So you put a knife, and that's not a bad part about it. Remember, David picked out five little stones, smooth stones, good stones. People say, well, why did he do that? He only got one Goliath. Well, Goliath had brothers. He's going to take a whole bunch. But my cousin, my grandma's driveway was gravel. And he found some nice, really what they were slick river rocks. And he said, "Now watch this." Puts that in there. Wow, fantastic. It really went a long way. Finally, he put one in there and almost got to the road. And then he said, "Okay, it's your turn." Oh, wow. So I thought, well, he's looking for those little slick rocks, not those. They have what they call around in Missouri in that area, TIF rocks. They're sharp as sharp can be. They're like what is that stuff? It looks like glass and stuff growing out of the side of a rock and everything. Quartz, yeah, beautiful looking stuff. They just grind that stuff up and use it for gravel. But anyway, it's beautiful stuff. But you don't want to, you can't walk barefooted on it. Well, it's sharp, sharp, sharp stuff. And so I thought, well, he got some pretty different kind of rocks out of this. So I picked up one. I thought, well, this is kind of round. This is pretty good. And I went and let it go. Guess what happened? I wish it had just went backwards. Boom! Just about hit myself between the eyes. I don't know if you could do that or not. But I somehow accomplished it or something. Oh, that hurt. That really hurt. I was crying and carrying on. My cousin, of course, being the helpful guy he was, "Oh, stop crying, you baby." "No, no. Give me that. Give me that. You're not going to use that if you're going to cry." Okay. I'm better. This time I actually didn't hit myself anyway, and it went pretty far. Of course, I got nowhere near going down there. But listen, God delivered Goliath into David's hand. God was taunting Israel? Yeah, but Goliath was taunting the God of Israel. And God said, "Enough. Here, David, take care of this guy." We need to remember that in deliverance, there's sometimes despair, but in deliverance, God has a plan, and it may seem quite unusual. It may not seem like something that would even work. But when we trust God to do what he's promised us to do, he's going then to take an avenue to do that that sometimes is just going to surprise us. That can't work. Oh, yes, it can. So David was out there, a man after God's own heart, and he did it God's way. And it says there in verse 2, "He, David, brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and establish my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God." I don't know. We don't know exactly what David is referring to here and all those things that he was talking about. But David's experience was many dangerous things in his life. And David was giving thanks for, I believe, his life in praise unto God and for his deliverance. He'd already delivered him a couple of times from the paw of the bear and the lion. We all need deliverance. We all do. Maybe it's a huge thing. Maybe it's a small thing. But we all need to do that. We need to be delivered almost daily. We all need a fresh touch from God Almighty daily. If you're stubborn, like me, you're going to pay for it until you can get to the place where you'll say, "Lord, forgive me, and I'll forgive that." I've said this before, perhaps. I'll never forget it because I don't want to do that again. I get close, though. I get close. But I was tromping around here. And this building wasn't even built. I was on the other side. And I was walking down the hall, the old building over there, coming from down there where we got the flower room, going down that hall to the main entrance there. And I'm walking along, and in my mind, I'm debating with God about what was going on in my life. And I was basically telling the Lord, "Listen, I'm not doing anything different from a whole lot of people. if this guy can do it, and seems to be getting away with it, why are you picking on me? And I was just, Well, listen, I don't know. I turned that corner, and guess where I ended up? I ended up on my face on those steps, weeping and repenting. Because, you see, I'd been arguing with God for a couple of weeks. I did something, but everybody else does it. They all get away with it. I don't want to be anybody, just like the other guys, just forget it, Lord, let it pass. He wouldn't do it. God will not do that for you either. You know why? He loves you. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to be upright with him. The other thing's probably just a teachable moment. That's all that is. But God is trying to draw us unto him. And so David says that he found the mercy of the Lord, and he found that I need to be silent. Sometimes it's good for us to just shut up and listen to the Lord for a while. And then he said, and then he put a new song in my heart. But David was a songwriter, wasn't he? He was writing all kinds of psalms. David said in verse 5, God's acts of grace are more than can be numbered. I think that's true. If you think about it a little bit, it's more than can be numbered. I've been to Yellowstone many times. I've seen Old Faithful erupt many times. I'd like to take my family out there. We've talked about it over and over and again to experience that wonder that is there. Maybe someday. But you know what? God's grace, you don't have to go to Yellowstone Park to find it. God's grace is new every day. It's like somebody's trying to rob you of joy, and God's trying to get you in the position of blessing you with joy and love and peace and strength. And he has to do that sometimes because we need to repent of that unbelief and come to him on his terms. Psalms 103 verse 12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, how far is that? So far hath he, God, removed our transgressions from us. When we get to that place of asking God to forgive us, and he forgives us, don't worry about bringing that up again. Because I think if God were to say to you anything to you, he'd say, what? It's gone. He's forgotten it. It is forgiven. Total forgiveness. When we come to Christ, Jim, it's total forgiveness. It's total. He knows who we are, where we've been, what we've done, all those kind of things. But Jesus came to die for us and forgives our sins. It's total. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins from us. Isaiah 38:18 tells us, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Let the past be in the past. You got stuff to do today. You know, the devil loves to rob us of joy. He can't really stop us from doing the things that God has for us. And so he just wants to make it so tough on us that we lose our joy about serving the Lord. And when we start to lose our joy about serving the Lord, then we start slowing down. And we stop looking for opportunities. And we stop thinking about ourselves in different ways. I thought about, we were talking there in Sunday school this morning. Years and years ago, we were doing a thing called Kenny Evangelism School of Discipleship and those kind of things, ER. And Blackhawk had made up a book, and somebody gave me the book. And I looked at that, and I said, hey, that's Evangelism Explosion. That's D. James Kennedy from Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in Florida. How you got that book? and got your name on it. You know, they couldn't tell me. You know, I suspect that D. James Kennedy and Coral Ridge Baptist, or Presbyterian Church could care less what Black Hawk was doing as long as they were trying to win people to Jesus. That's the important thing, wasn't it? The devil loves to rob us of our joy. He likes to bring up the past. He likes us to see things from his point of view. And if we see things from his point of view, it's dismal. Dismal. The psalmist said, David says in 130 verse 3, "If thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand?" If God remembered our sins, if God marked those down, made us be accountable for them, no one could stand. No one. Psalms 86 says, "For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You know, it doesn't make any difference what color you are. Doesn't make any difference how you've got a PhD in something or another. We've seen it. PhDs from certain schools don't mean much at all, evidently. It doesn't make any difference to God at all, period. He's plenteous in mercy to all those who call upon him. Black, white, murderer or not murderer. Yeah, murderers even. We've got to stop looking at where we've been. Stop sucking on that pickle, somebody said, and start rejoicing. Rejoicing. God is joy. And you know what? If we are joyful, I think that that transmits to people as well. That they see that there's a joy in you. And they are going to start thinking, where did they get that joy? And that's exactly what God wants us to do. And that we'll have that opportunity to share with them how we have that joy. I was hoping Kylie would be here today. That's my granddaughter, my only granddaughter. I've got some grandsons, but I got one granddaughter. Oh, she's a beauty, isn't she? She's a beauty. I don't know how this happened exactly. It probably was her grandmother or something, I'm not sure. But she was maybe 3 or 4 or something. She had funny little ways of talking, and of course they're beautiful, aren't they? Little words that they don't quite say right. And it's so cool. And somehow or another, my wife was probably trying to teach her that verse, and so she taught her that little song. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart. Joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine. A joyful heart is good. Then this is what I always like, because she had this beautiful little voice, and then she'd go, "But a broken spirit dries up the bone. But a joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine, joyful heart." Listen, a joyful heart is good medicine, friends. And it's attractive. When we are joyful in the Lord, experiencing life as is, we're touching people's lives. Don't even realize it. There is a horizontal, but there is a vertical dimension as well. David says, "Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." Many shall see and trust in the Lord. People far from the Lord are drawn to Jesus every day because somebody is living their everydayness out with a joy of the Lord in their heart. They don't even think about it. They're not saying, "Today I've got to do this and do that and all this kind of stuff." They're just living their life unto the Lord. And they're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And the world is so sad and so bitter. They stick out like a light in the darkness. People far, far from the Lord want to know what's going on with you and why you're joyful when you should be sad and crying. You know, we mentioned cancer this morning, and we have some folks that we need to continue to remember those kind of things. But my brother, my little brother, I was 6 years older than my little brother. I'm 15 years older than my little sister. I guess my mom and dad need a lot of practice in between or something. My little brother was 6'2". He'd get on these kicks, and for a while there he was pumping iron, and you know that's pretty good arm there, you know, things like that. But it was about a year before he died, and we were home doing something, and I could not believe it. I didn't know my brother was so vain. We were staying with him, and he's looking for something. And my sister said, "Oh, yeah, I know." And she went and found it for him. And he took this stuff and a little brush in there, and he started brushing it through his hair. You know what it was? Something that covered gray. I don't know what it was exactly. It was in a little jar. He had this little brush, and you go like that. Something that covers gray. And of course, I was a great encouragement to him. I told him, I said, "Brother, that's not going to do any good at all." But, you know, here's this guy, picture of health. Actually, he's a pretty good looking guy. I don't think I was better looking, but nevertheless. Anyway, pretty good looking guy. He was having some trouble. He goes to the doctor over in Farmington. And the doctor in Farmington tells him, "I think you've got cancer." And he said, and so he went home. And he told the family, told my sister, I wasn't there at that time, that the doctor in Farmington said he thought he had cancer. And my little sister said, "Well, what do those quacks over there in Farmington know? You get yourself up to St. Louis and see a real doctor." And so he did. He went to St. Louis. He went up there, came back, and the doctors in St. Louis said what? "You got cancer." His son, Joshua, said, "Dad, there's a place out there someplace called the Cancer Center of America, and he threw him in the car, and he took him out there, and I thought to myself, they're going to drive all the way out there, what is it, in Arizona? I don't know where it's at, someplace out west, Colorado or someplace like that. And they're going to say, 'Do you have an appointment?'" Have you ever had that happen to you? When you want to go to the doctors, they want a referral. That means you had to see some other doctor to see that doctor. And that doctor has to refer you to that doctor. Do they get a cash kickback on that? I'm just kidding. Anyway, he went out there. He actually saw the doctors. Couldn't believe it. I thought, he's gone out there. He probably had to stay a week or month or who and how long before he gets an appointment out there. He actually went out there the next day, went in, went to the doctor and all that kind of stuff. They did some tests on him. They told him that he had cancer and he was terminal. "Is there not a thing we can do for you?" Listen, we're all terminal. There's something going on in us right now. We're all terminal. We're not going to live forever. Doesn't do any good to put that black stuff in your hair. Maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe ladies like that. I don't know. I'm just glad I have some hair, you know. That's right. Listen. people come from far, all over the place, to go to Yellowstone Park to see this marvel. We need to have enough joy in the Lord that people will come afar to see the joy that we have in the Lord. Paul says over 1 Corinthians 14:25, he says, thus are the secrets of the heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Of a truth. We're gonna have an invitation here in a minute, Vondell. And we'll do the one that you have, okay? But I'm you. Thank you. So you can sit over there. But I want everybody to stand up because we're gonna sing a song together. I just taught it to you a little while ago. You got it? Yeah. Taylor, come on up here. You know that song, don't you? When I just taught you. Oh, you're a young man. You got a brain like a steel trap. Remember the song I just taught you guys? Come on up here. Stand by me. You guys have got it, right? Here we go. A full heart is good medicine. Good medicine, a joyful heart. Joyful heart is good medicine. Joyful heart is good. Now we get it. Broken spirit, a broken spirit, rise up the bones. Joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine, a joyful heart. Smile, a joyful heart is good medicine. Good medicine, a joyful heart. A joyful heart is good. Amen. Pastor, you got that one down? Listen, maybe the Lord has spoken to you today, and you need to come to this altar, pray. Maybe you need to come and say, Brother Mike, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and we want to join Calvary, whatever it might be. This is the invitation, and here's the invitation song.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to